Welcome to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, your weekly dose of Porsche culture. With Tech Talk, Heritage, the Ren Builds playlists, along with a massive dollop of waffle, we'll keep you entertained. So subscribe now on any podcast streaming service and YouTube. Welcome back to the Rengineering YouTube and podcast, and it's a long time coming, but this is going to be a fairly long waffle. Going to bring you absolutely up to date. So this year, as it's been fed back to me a few times, there's been far less podcasts going out, but that is intentional. So to cut to it, I sat down, months and months ago, and I do this with lots of things. If I'm not where I want to be right now, or I have a plan, I'm trying to achieve something, I think about it as simply as possible, break it down to A and B. You are where you are right now. Document and write down all the circumstances, the kind of the things that you are happy with, the things you're not happy with. And then B, where you want to be, what you are trying to achieve, whatever that is. That can be a huge goal, or it can be something relatively simple. Then you've just got a straight path. You've just got to kind of figure out what the gaps are between A and B. So A for me is I'd spent a lot of time last year working on building the brand so people would actually know who Rengineering is, doing some really great content I'm proud of, releasing that content, which took a long time, training and learning how to do that thing, teaching myself how to edit and publish podcast episodes, the first live event. All of those things were kind of a learning curve for me. This year was about consolidating some of that learning and then trying to get to B, which is getting the Ren 550 kicked off. Now, if I'd have carried on as I was, shooting content and that, you wouldn't believe the amount of time that goes into that. It's intense, absolutely intense. I wouldn't get closer, I don't believe, to building the Ren 550. It's as simple as that. I think I would have made small bits of progress, monetized on YouTube now, monetized on the podcast. But again, that is not going to do it in terms of an income that's sufficient to be able to build the Ren 550. And it all comes back to that. The rest of the stuff that is, you know, the Your Porsche stories, I've loved those. And hello to everybody that's kind of been on Your Porsche stories so far. The Heritage episodes, you know, the big ones with Richard Tuttle and Mike Brewer. Again, I've loved getting to know those people. And they do bring an interest and people towards Rengineering, but it has to fundamentally come down to the money side of things. And even to get a donor car for the Ren 550, I've now learned that I can't do it on the cheap and start from a kind of £5,000 or £6,000 project. I need to get something that's about 10 grand that I can guarantee hasn't been crashed, because I've had three or four goes at buying cars now. You know, with people that have been honest and people who have been dishonest. The only way to really do it is to up the value of the car to get just this starting point. That's no development. That is literally the starting point. So when I was looking at that and I was thinking, okay, is my energy and effort in social media and you know, the YouTube channel and the podcast helping that, or is it taking me further away from it? Now, it's important to keep building the brand and keep releasing podcasts and YouTube content. I accept that that's important, but it's not helping me get closer. So what I have been doing this year is spending a lot more time building my network, brand collaborations with big partners, and I'll talk about Michelin and Porsche Club GB later, magazine features for the Cayman, those sorts of things that attract potentially clients to Rengineering to help me build their cars. Now that then generates an income that does take me closer to being able to buy the chassis, the donor for the Ren 550, potentially more, because as you can imagine, if I turn out one or two more Caymans through consultancy or through a build, that's gonna generate more interest. There's likely to be more clients that come on board. The brand elevates again, more cars are in features and more cars are spoken about. That is a much better place for me to spend my energy and time, certainly this year, to get me closer to B, which is where I want to be, right? So that's been the reason why. And if you come over to me and or reached out to me through DMs or even email, or caught me at an event or something and said, you know, when's the next, you know, bit of content coming out, I've gently tried to kind of steer into this kind of thing. It has to come back to this being a viable business that allows me to go full time on it and build these cars. Because the more I talk to people, the more certain I am that the Ren 550 is the right place to be. It's the right type of vehicle. People are climbing up the walls for this sort of stuff. I've had some challenges too. I'll talk about those in a bit as well. But yeah, so that fundamentally, before we even get started on the rest of this stuff, that's why there has not been so much content. I have been absolutely focused on Rengineering as a business. And again, you've got to remember that at the moment, this is my side hustle, not my daytime job. Obviously, if it's my daytime job, I'd be releasing content at the yin yang, and I'd be also building the car, and I'd be, you know, spending every waking moment in, you know, fully invested in it. But you can only do so much on weekends and evenings. I do like my sleep. So let's do a bit of a tour, and let's go back through. I'm going to do a bit of a review of the events I've been to, talk about each one in specifics. So Bicester, starting back in April, Bicester Scramble. I love Bicester. It was a me turn up and look around thing. It wasn't, you know, my car was just shoehorned in somewhere. There was nothing special about that. Not a huge amount to talk about. May, 11th of May, Legends Drivers Club in Stuttgart South. At Heritage Parts Center. And again, I'm always going to credit Andre with this. He does such a great job. And Andy and the team as well at Stuttgart South and Heritage Parts Center. Big shout out to their podcast as well. They just pulled it off nicely. It was a really cool environment. I got talking to loads of people, got shown around the warehouse as well. There's a chance for some of the Ren Sporter bits to come from Heritage Parts Center as well. So that was good. Obviously, a relatively small event, probably 150 cars, something like that. But really good to actually get and talk to people. Friend I've known for forever called Stee. He's an ex-Lotus guy. He's built a really, really cool lime green. Lime green is not the official name for it. 924. It's actually on the floor, as he's found out recently. That might cause some issues. If you are on social media, and particularly in the UK, and you've seen a lime green 924 that's absolutely on the deck on Steels, that's Steve's car. We're going to do a feature on it at some point because it needs its own space and time. There's things I wouldn't do myself. I wouldn't have it quite so low. And only last week he cracked the sump, which is, you know, that's part and parcel of having a car that's driving on the ground pretty much. So that was Stuttgart South, Legends Drivers Club. Luft versus Vasa, Everard's Farm. Again, really cool guys. Really enjoyed that. It was kind of, because it was in May, that the May in the UK is really hit and miss, right? So, you know, sometimes in May, it's especially the end of May, which is the 25th, I think it was. It can be bright sunshine, 25 degrees and you know, lovely. And sadly, this day was not so much that. It was about 12 degrees and raining for the most part. So, but very thankfully, they featured the car, had it in a really nice nice location. Good chats with everybody. I got an opportunity to speak to an old friend as well, picked him up locally, and it was his first time at any Porsche event ever. So it was quite useful to see his interaction with some cars, what he liked and what he didn't like, without opinion of the brand in general. So that was really cool. I was going to go to Simply Porsche at Bewley, which is, again, I don't live too far from Bewley, actually, which is a nice place to go. I've been there 3 years and on the trot, and I can't remember what it was at the time, but I needed a bit of a break, so skip that one. And very sadly as well, Legends Drivers Club Hever Castle, and I absolutely adore Hever Castle. It's my favourite Legends Club event of the year. Sadly, I didn't make that either. So there was a gap through June, pretty much. And obviously I was on holiday at that point as well. So if you followed any of the social media channels, not at rengineering.uk, which is the kind of the trading arm or the kind of the motor vehicle company arm of social media for this brand, but the at the Rengineering podcast, there was pictures of me kind of sunning myself up in Greece, taking a well-earned break. I was pretty beaten up at that point and needed some time off. So I missed those two. 21st of June. And this started really the kind of the first collaboration of the year with Porsche Club Great Britain, Solstice at Boxing Gas. So again, thank you so much to the entire Porsche Club Great Britain team, I've got to know all of them a lot better this year, particularly Lenya and Adam Towler as well, and their kind of goals for the future. And it's going in a really, it's in a way you have to just applaud and support. So it was an honour to be featured there. So that was at Boxing Gas. It was kind of like a mini Megaphonics. It was brutally hot. It was about 28, 29 degrees. And I had the good sense, or not, to wear jeans that day. So I was absolutely melting. But it was great to get the car out again and kind of go on a good drive. And anytime a Boxing Gas is always a good time. So there was that. That was the first time it was featured for Porsche Club Great Britain. And then literally the following week, got the opportunity to display the car again, but this time at Brooklands. Now, Brooklands Circuit is an absolute icon. And I didn't realise until I was there, and actually they've got this kind of, what was one of the original World War II build kind of areas where they would have had all of the aircraft being built through World War. That's obviously our post-war would have been turned into, motor vehicle racing and prep for that. All the sheds around the place, I call them sheds because they're not much more than that. They're all still there. You know, the Bluebird team was originally there. You know, there was, and so it was absolutely steeped in history. And I'm a proper kind of nerd for that stuff. So anything with heritage, anything that you can connect to the past and sort of, you know, feel the vibes from back then. And Brooklands really does do it as well. And I work in aviation in my day job, and there was an absolute ton of stuff. So I even got to walk around on Concorde, which I never thought I'd be able to do. So aside from the car being there and being displayed, just being at Brooklands was fantastic. So if you're over in the UK and you're not from around here, if you're a petrol head, which I'm guessing if you've ended up here listening to this, you are, recommend Brooklands, give it a day, and especially if there's a decent event on as well. So that was Porsche Club Great Britain at the end of June for the Brooklands event. Following that, again, the following week after that, it's pretty compressed actually over the June and early July, Flat Six show at Goodwood. Another icon in terms of a place to be. Flat Six this year, my car was featured in a kind of Cayman area, next to sort of to the left hand side of the track. So if you approach Goodwood, it's kind of split. You go under a tunnel basically, and then you can kind of get to the paddock area, and the access to the track is through that way, or you're the sort of left hand side, and you're kind of to the left hand side of the track, obviously. So the car was featured there. It was a smaller Flat Six than last two years. Didn't seem to quite have, you know, there's been, you know, a massive sound system, and there's been a huge amount of vendors, and it's felt like a really impressive, one of the ones to beat. This year it was a little slower for me. So, but it was a really good opportunity to see, again, lots of familiar faces that go to the Legends events. That event isn't a Legends event. It's run by Players Show. But I know that Andre helps out with it as well. So yeah, it was good. It was good to get the car out again. Again, it's about sort of the frequency of this stuff. Porsche in the Park on the 20th of July. Sadly, I couldn't make that. Big apologies to Robbie if you're listening to this. It wasn't a decline for any other reason than just saturation with work, unfortunately, and private stuff. So I just wasn't able to make that. But by all accounts, it was great, and I'm sure they had a great time. And what I did really like as well is I really love seeing young kids get involved, especially in the brand. And they've got a young lad that must have been, he's probably only 13 or 14, and I should know his name, and I don't, unfortunately. But he was very on it, obviously, building his social media presence up and setting up some YouTube videos and did an interview, which I thought was fantastic. So massive credit to you, Robbie, and the team for pulling off Porsche in the Park again, and I will be there next year. And that brings us to August, pretty much to where we are now. Now, Megaphonics was last weekend, 3rd of August, and I mean, I don't even know where to start. So firstly, I have to acknowledge and thank the Michelin PR team and social media and influencer team. I was very fortunately invited. My car was invited to be on the display stand at Boxing Gas Megaphonics on their Michelin stand, which is fantastic. But also, Michelin being the absolute gents they are, decided to put a private event on the night before Megaphonics. So, and a hotel. So myself and about 10 or so other people got the opportunity to be on site at Megaphonics before anyone else arrived. So that meant giving, you know, by that time, obviously everything had been set up. So just got a lovely walk around during the, as the sun was setting, looking at all these amazing cars that the following day was going to be absolutely saturated with 10,000 people. So, and the bit that really got me was sort of part of the way through the meal. It was right next to the historic building, or the building that housed the historic cars. Now, I haven't talked about the Rennsporter much on this, but I'm going to in a sec. All the Group C cars were in there. There was a 917 in there. The first ever, you know, the last ever air-cooled car was in there. I mean, it was just like, it's hard to put it into words even now. And I did, so if you head over to that, the Rengineering podcast on Instagram, I did a reel and I just walked around and sort of took the camera around to show you what it is and what I was able to see. So if you didn't get the opportunity to see anything about Megaphonics and you want to go and have a look around that, that's what I mean, it was a real pinch me moment, being able to sort of walk around this building as the sun was setting and just take it all in before anyone else. So yeah, surreal. Incredible, amazing opportunity, and I've got to credit Michelin with that, so thank you, Michelin. And again, on that same Saturday, actually just before the meal started, I kind of got there earlier. I had the we'll talk about magazine shoots after this, but I had the mate with the sort of the second of the two magazine shoots, and I had a gap, I had a window of about 2 hours before I needed to be back at Boxing Gas for the meal. And I knew that the team from CAM, Mickey from CAM, we were on site. They were already on site. And I've been trying to get time with, not even to test the car just yet, although that would be amazing, just to sit and do the same sort of thing I've done with Richard and with Mike Brewer and a number of other people, you know, Mikey from Auto Farm or Frank himself from Boxing Gas, all these people that I've, you know, I don't like saying the word interview, but interviewed. I've been trying to do that with Mickey, but because he's based out of Hungary, it's not the easiest thing to do. And if he's over here, it's for Festival of Speed or, so I pinged him a WhatsApp and said, actually, mate, have you got an hour you can spare? Luckily he did. So next week's episode, there will be one next week, is going to be my sit down chat with Mickey from CAM. And we're going to do a kind of, again, if you've listened to enough of these episodes, you'll know the drill, right? I start when they're young, work through their life and all the way up to what motivated them to do what they're doing now and how that's going and what the future looks like. So if you want to learn about 912s, if you want to learn about Mickey building his business up, and everything about that CAM car, then you'll be able to do that and hear that next week. So yeah, pretty amazing. And on the same day, I'm going to get to it now, magazine features. So yeah, there's that. I mentioned it right at the start of the episode. There's been two completed now. So one, I think it probably was around the time of, when would it have been? Maybe even near Porsche in the Park or just before, actually. And Porsche Club Great Britain have a magazine called Porsche Post. So if you're not from the UK, let's just say you're in the States, you've got the PCA and you've probably got a PCA magazine. Well, this is the equivalent, effectively. Porsche Post goes out to about 70,000 people a year. Or each issue does, because that's roughly the amount of subscribers or members they have, and it's a free magazine that goes out every month. Adam Towler, who is effectively the road tester and editor for Porsche Post, I've reached out and said, look, if you're interested in featuring the car, you're more than welcome to. Took a little bit of work to get to the date locked in, but we managed to get the date locked in, and had Rich Pierce and Adam Towler. We met in the New Forest and we had a whole day shooting my car. Now, the first ever magazine show I've done for a car, I had absolutely no idea what was going to happen. It took all day. So probably a 2-hour static shot. And credit to Rich, found a really great location, not that far from where I am actually. And we got some great photos there, so, and lots of static stuff to kind of build out the content. And then headed further into the New Forest and we had a massive camera rig on the car, you know, diving into bushes to take kind of sweeping photos to get some really dynamic shots. It was just the best. And then Adam took the car out again. Adam's ex-Evo magazine. So, you know, proper journalist. And I said to him then, I really want feedback on the car as well, because I think I finished it. But actually, you're a pro. Gave him kind of an idea about what the car is meant to be. So an exclusive manufacturer or Sondervunsch version of what a 981 could have been if they'd have released that back in those days, 10 or so years ago. And I got a little bit of feedback. He heavily advised having a shorter gear set, licensed flywheel, and that's in the works. I'll talk about a Neumeister in a little bit. So little bits of feedback. Overall, they really liked the car. It reminded him of how good 981s were. So that episode, I don't actually know when that feature is going to come out in the magazine. It wasn't immediate. I knew that. So it's probably going to be, I don't know, September, October, I would guess. But I'll keep tracks on it as well. I'll let you know when it comes out. Or if you get to see it first, let me know. So that was the first feature. The second one was at Megaphonics the day before. So tracking back to what I was saying a minute ago, unreal. I got there for 11, near to Boxing Gas itself on a flyover. So if you've been there before, you'll know there's kind of a flyover, and I parked up just there waiting for the guys from 911 and Porsche World magazine, which is a, you know, publicly available magazine on the shelves of every supermarket and newsagent in the UK. So again, about building the brand and getting the car well known and getting more of this kind of content out there, exactly where we needed to be. Again, super professional guys. The photographer, what was amazing, he was ex Max Power from back in the day. Again, I clarify some of these things because I make the assumption, and I already know from looking at the stats, not every single listener is in the UK. We've got listeners literally around the world. So I clarify some of this stuff. Max Power had it kind of kicked off in the early 90s and then had a kind of dormant period, a little bit, I guess. And then as soon as the Fast and the Furious came out, it absolutely infected this country, and this whole scene around that kind of time kicked off. Obviously, I mean, some Japanese cars for sure, but it, you know, it didn't matter what you had. It could be a European car or a Japanese car or whatever, American cars even. All of them were being modified by far too eager with too few budgets. So you get all sorts of cars. But so this guy, the photographer, was there as a staffer back then in those days. So we had an amazing conversation about that. And then the other guy that came with us, Steve, he's a journo. He's been around since the kind of, I think he said the early 80s. You wouldn't know. He looked about 40. But again, you know, amazing road tester. Again, I said, please give me some feedback. So, and he didn't have that much to say. He really liked the suspension, really liked the dynamics of the car. I think for both Adam and for Steve, the noise was a bit much. But I've got a Gold Leaf performance intake on that car. It's bound to be a bit much, but it's my car. I love it. And it's a high days and dry days car. I'm not commuting up and down motorways for, you know, 50 hours a week or anything in it. And I think it's absolutely amazing. It makes that car. But yeah, so yeah, two magazine features. That, when I spoke to the guys and said, you know, any idea about turnaround time, they were basically saying, yeah, like straight away, is that my copy has to be done and dusted and back to the magazine for proof and for print within a week. So again, as soon as it comes out, I'm sure Dan Fur, the editor, hello Dan, if you're listening to this, will give me a heads up. I'll let you guys know and you can go and have a look, and I'll put some pictures up on the Instagram page as well when that kind of goes live as well. But again, you can see my point. It gets me closer to B the whole time. And I think probably the last major thing to talk about is the decision I made to not carry on hunting for an Elise at that point. Actually, there's one other massive piece of news thinking about it that gets me much more close to B, is that I stopped looking for a donor car and I bought a T6 Transporter, Volkswagen Transporter. One of the biggest pain in the bums through this whole kind of finding a donor car was going to pick one up. And it made me realize quite quickly that I need a commercial vehicle to tow. I need a commercial vehicle to go and collect parts or deliver parts. I just need something that is sign written that I can use as a business vehicle. So that's why I went and found a T6 T32. So fully load bearing, four motion, so four wheel drive, with a tow bar, with combi seats. So it's still usable as proper transport. It's not just in a bare van. Perfect, absolutely perfect, in white. And I got thinking, well, look, hey, this is Rengineering. We can't just leave it. We can't just have a van, can we? So, and I talked about, I mean, you know, when I was talking about the 962 and the Group C cars and the Rothman stuff from Megaphonics, took inspiration from that. So I'm making a very modified T6 van called Spirit of 962. And that is effectively, I'm just going to take lots of Rothman style influence and throw that at the van. I've already got a set of banded steels, effectively, that are 19 inch that I've had repainted already that look kind of like the aero discs on the 962. The suspension's in the back of the garage at the moment. I've got complete new bumper sets. It's a start line, so it's got plastic bumpers. I've got all the kit in there. Recaro seats to go in, you name it. I've got an absolute ton of stuff. And then it'll be liveried up. And the livery is going to be, like I said, it's going to be Rothmans inspired. But there was a transport vehicle for the Rothmans Group C stuff. It's barely even any photo references. I've got one real genuine photo. I'm going to use that as kind of my... my influence of it effectively. So again, I'll put, you know, as the build goes through, I'll put more photos up on both the Instagram pages. But that's the reason why there's not a donor car at the moment, because I've gone for the transporter. That means I can move everything closer to that same thing of making it a profitable, runnable business. And yes, there is one thing that I wanted to mention as well that does leap massively closer to that, and that is clients. I have two clients at this point in time. One, I'm not going to mention that. In fact, neither I'm going to mention their names until they've given me full approval to do that. One person's very well known in the Porsche community, and I'm doing their interior, their car. So a 981 Cayman. They've got a GTS in Carmine Red, and they want me to do their interior. Can't wait to do that. That's going to be great. One, which is the bigger of the two, I guess, projects, is a chap in Thailand, and I'm going to be effectively consulting and supporting the project of that. So just to give you some insight, he's buying a base 981, gonna put a 3.8 engine in it. It's going to be stripped right down to nuts and bolts with a full repaint in Gulf Blue, and then we're kind of starting work on discussing and me trying to get a feel for exactly what he wants to achieve. I think we've got quite close to a concept to work to. But what he reached out to me for and, you know, commissioned my services was to make sure that that build feels cohesive. That if you walk up to it, it feels like everything's meant to be there. I am at that point where I believe that I can do that with relative ease now. I just can look at something and know whether that is a cohesive pulled together design for a car. How do I know that? Well, I went to a Caffeine and Machine I Love You Man episode, which was at the Hut. Again, the Hut's not that far from me. With Rob Dickinson of Singer. Now, I don't need to tell you who Singer are. If you're listening to this, you know exactly who Singer are. And you know that Rob Dickinson is the founder of that company and the guru, and who's the guy that wrote Everything is Important on a wall in the original building in California when they were starting out, which then became the kind of backbone and the mission that they were trying to achieve. So every car they produce, everything is important. And he was telling some stories around the fact that there's been people, you know, that they've had work for them, or they've kind of subbied stuff out to other companies to do bits and pieces. And there's been a proper to and fro of, it's great, but it's not good enough. You know, if you can see it, or if you can't see it, it's still got to be perfect. Everything is important. So, you know, it's great to listen to that episode. I think they're brilliant, and I really enjoy going to any of the stuff that Caffeine and Machine put on. Phil does a great job. But something happened there. So in between a break, because it was a quick break halfway through before Q&A, Rob got to look around some cars in the car park. Now, my car was parked up the top, And he had a good look round. Mike Heyman, and absolutely loved it. Was incredibly complimentary about the car. Now I was kind of like, well, this is amazing, but it was a bit of like, I wonder, does everybody get that same sort of, you know, politeness? Started Q&A. You know, I was chuffed to bits about the fact he seemed to really appreciate the car and some of the design choices I'd made. And then about halfway through the Q&A, he stopped kind of the conversation, seemed quite abruptly, and said, if you want to go and see what a good modified car looks like, go and look at Paul's. And I had a, he's saying that now, it's making me laugh. I had a proper moment because, what, three or four episodes ago, if you, you know, it probably wasn't even that long, you know, it's probably a few episodes ago now, but I had a kind of window of misery where I was just struggling to find direction. I was putting a lot of work into this. I wasn't getting a huge amount out. I hadn't kind of decided what A and B were, or kind of documented or figured out what steps I need to take to get closer to my goal. I was just a bit lost at that point and quite fatigued. So to have Rob Dickinson, the founder of Singer, turn around and in kind of front of everybody really pretty much stop the conversation and point out my car and say, that's how you do it. That's kind of the point where I've, you know, the confidence in me has grown massively as a result of that. So there's zero chance of Rob Dickinson listening to this, or probably Phil McGovern, who runs Caffeine and Machine, but anyone's there, Mick's there, actually. Mick was there on the day and he can point it out. But yes, so it was just a surreal moment, but incredibly validating. And that is how I know I'm on the right track. So so this client build in Thailand, what's an amazing start as well, Thailand. I haven't kind of asked them about their cautiousness around publicizing their car at the moment. I'm going to have a proper conversation about that because obviously I want to document it and obviously I want to promote the fact that this build's happening. But I am also aware they're a private client and they are they have their own business. They may not choose to, and that's up to them. But it is going to be Rengineering branded. There's a company out in Thailand called AutoWorks as well. So and AutoWorks is going to be carrying out the actual mechanical work. Obviously, if being in Thailand, it's not easy for me to do that. And much as I'd like to fly out to Thailand, that's not likely to happen anytime soon. So yeah, so that's what's happening. So now if I think about all the way back to the start of this episode and my little kind of in brief as to kind of why there's not been that much content, hopefully this kind of ties it all back together again. I started at A, which was some content out there, some performing really well, lots I'm really proud of, a couple of bits I could have done better in retrospect, but still not that close to being able to build a car, build the Ren 550, which is what this is all about. Who also, Rob Dickinson loved the idea of that, by the way. To B, which is, I'm not at B yet, but I'm a hell of a lot closer than I was at the start of this year. And on, as Jeremy Clarkson once said, on that bombshell, I'm going to leave you. I've really appreciated every single person that's come up to me and interacted with me. You guys know who you are. There's loads of you, and it means a lot every time. So, you know, Carlad, Matt, Ricky, the engine builder, there's just a ton of people out there that have kind of spent time. Simon, Bonfield, obviously Andre. There's loads and loads and loads of people. I could keep going. But thank you. It means a lot. Your support means a lot. You also helped me get to B. And that day where this build kicks off and I'm able to come on here and say, we've got a donor and we're off the blocks, is going to be a big one. So I don't think it's that far away. It's summer here, so this weekend I'm off to the Piston Heads annual at Bicester Heritage again. So that's, again, the car's featured on the Michelin stand. If you're there, come and say hello. And then that's pretty much it. And I am, because there's a bit of a gap, in terms of me needing to prep the car and get the car back out and ready for the next show, I'll be back onto content building again, loads of the content now. The only thing that I've got left to shoot now before I kind of consider this next chunk done is a nut trip to Ninemeister on Tuesday. So we're going to shoot the 9M64, which is their 964 super resto model, super hot rod, whatever you want to call it. Myself and Elliot, Elliot Man Media, going to go up there to Warrington. It's a bloody long way from where I live. So I'm going to travel up overnight, and then shoot the content on Tuesday and come back later that day. So big day, but that's it. That'll wrap it up in terms of content building for this year. And I've just been to editing and getting it out. So you'll get a lot more content out of the back end of this year than you have the first half. I hope you've had a wonderful summer so far, or if you're in Australia or the Southern Hemisphere, I hope it's not too cold and miserable for you. Thank you to everybody that's listened. I've thanked a lot of people in the last 10 minutes. But yeah, please come and say hello if you do see me, and I will see you again next week for the CAM episode, and probably a bit of chat by Mick and I as well. So take care for now. Bye-bye.